Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is with us today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So, were you surprised when you got the grid what our first topic was after our conversation last night?
Yeah, no, not really.
So, last night, Ian and I text each other, and I was like, we're starting on this topic. Unless something happens, and I'm not going to lie, between like 6 a.m. today and right now, I was like, please, nobody get traded, cut, retire, no, it's not morbid, die. Like, none of that, please, none of that happen, because I want to start on this topic. So, draft night in Nashville, our yearly draft show, is a fan favorite. And it is a fan favorite, I think, for two reasons. Number one, I think there's excellent analysis. Chris and Derek, and this year we got Trevor in the mix. You know, you're not going to find more honest, true, you know, like, a, you know, when you're the team's network, you got to kind of pump up, oh, yeah, that was a great pick on Monty Rice. But on our shows, we don't have to do that, and we don't. And I think that's something that people love. And then the second thing is, of course, the Jared Stillman reaction, which is Dylan Raiden got picked, I went crazy. Monty Rice got picked, I went crazy. Peter Skoronski got picked. I went crazy last year. So our draft show is on for right now. It's tentative because, you know, who knows what the NHL is going to do, and hopefully there's not a game. We'll play Wednesday and Friday as opposed to playing on Thursday, but that's a different discussion for a different day. And if you want to see a draft night meltdown, you should hope that the Pro Football Focus mock draft that came out yesterday is what happens on draft night. So we start at the top. This is Pro Football Focus. They put out a mock draft. And, you know, Pro Football Focus, they use a completely different board than everybody else. They use their Pro Football Focus metrics and things like that. And so, again, more power to them. But they use somewhat of a different board. And they've got, I guess, you know, their Pro Football Focus feel. So here's how the Pro Football Focus mock draft went down. We start at pick number one with Chicago. Chicago takes Caleb Williams. Ian, is that a surprise?
No.
Not a surprise there? Washington on the clock at number two. J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. Which, as soon as I click this story, I'm like, let's see. And I see J.J. McCarthy at number two, and I thought, oh, this thing's going to be drunk. This thing's going to be all over the freaking place. Number three. Denver trades up with New England and drafts Jaden Daniels, which I've seen some crazy things in my life. Here's what's wild. Denver just now has a first-round pick for the first time in what feels like forever because they wasted all of them on Russell Wilson. And now, and I don't know exactly what the terms of the trade would be here, but they're going to have to give up all their first-round picks to go up to three to get Jaden Daniels. But it's their mock draft, not mine. Number four. Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. That I think we can all agree with, just like Caleb Williams to Chicago. Number five. Joe Alt to the Chargers. Now, I have guaranteed that Joe Alt's not going to the Chargers on a team that has a left tackle and a right tackle and no receivers, but everybody keeps saying the Chargers could do it. Trevor says it. Charles Davis says it. Mark Dominick says it. And now the Pro Football Focus mock draft says Joe Alt to the Chargers at five. And so now it's like, okay, what are you going to do here? Number six. Malik Nabers to the Giants. So now, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers are off the board. So now we get the best. The last 2 days were the debates, right? Even though Alt's off, you get Drake May, you get Brock Bowers. Tennessee at seven on the Pro Football Focus mock draft. Dalis Fuaga, the right tackle out of Oregon State. I saw that yesterday, and I thought, what? Dalis Fuaga at seven? Pro Football Focus writes, quote, the Titans have to go offensive line. With Joe Alt off the board, they simply move on to OT2 in their rankings, which in this case is Thalys Fuaga, a monster run blocker. Fuaga would be a perfect project for new Titans offensive line coach Bill Callahan. No, 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 no. If you guys pay the price of admission for the draft show on Thursday night, if the NHL does not screw us and put a playoff game in there and we're doing the draft show, you are going to get one of the patented draft night meltdowns. Because if the Titans at 7, with Brock Bowers on the board, with Drake May on the board, with, you know, the ability to trade out on the board, with if they take a right tackle with the 7th pick, who is not one of the elite 8 players in this draft, I am going to go freaking bonkers. It's almost as bad as taking a guard with the 11th overall pick in a draft. That's how bad it is. So now let's use this crazy mock draft and put ourselves in the position of the Titans at 7. Joe Alt's gone, Marvin Harrison's gone, Malik Nabers is gone. I mean, and then, of course, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, whatever. So, to me, at this point, the Titans have 5 choices, and I am not ranking these in any order here. Number 1, draft Brock Bowers. We've talked a lot about Brock Bowers this week, and again, a lot of these mock drafts have Brock Bowers going, you know, 12, 15, 17. I do think Mark Dominic is probably right that it's probably more likely Bowers goes within the top 10. Bowers does feel like one of the elite players in this draft, and there's just, in any draft, there's not that many elite players. Rick Spielman had him 7th on his board, so I am fine with, you know, Brock Bowers there if that ends up being the pick. The second choice is drafting Rome Odunze, and receiver is absolutely a need for this team. Odunze, there seem to be a lot of mixed opinions on. Some people think that Odunze is the number 2 receiver in this draft. Some people think he's number 3. I feel, and again, I loved him in the Sugar Bowl versus Texas. I didn't love him so much against Michigan in the championship game. But I feel like, to me, it's Nabers and Harrison 1-2, and you can pick them however you want. I think they're the same class, and then Odunze is a step back, and then there's everybody else after that. But if the 2 receivers are gone, and I'm sitting there at 7, Odunze probably is in play, certainly before Fuaga with that pick. The third choice they have is the one that we talked about yesterday. A lot of people didn't like very much. Draft Drake May and trade Will Levis. And I'm sure people don't want to hear that, but that's, again, I think, probably the right decision. Another choice they have is to draft Dallas Turner. Remember, right now, Dallas Turner seems to be the consensus number 1 defensive player in this draft. I did talk to somebody yesterday, though, that said that they think that Quinyon Mitchell is actually the best defensive player in this draft. But it seems like the consensus amongst all the gurus and even like the former GMs that, you know, have actually done this for a living is that Dallas Turner is the top defensive player in the draft. And if your scouts and your coaches think that Dallas Turner has superstar edge rusher ability, then he's certainly on the board for me. And it's, again, certainly a need because Arden Key ain't that good. And then the last choice they have is to trade the pick to, say, Minnesota at 11, Vegas at 13. And then you've got to get, because you're trading out of one of the elite 8 slots here, you've got to get a next year's first. Right? You got to get a next year's first to go to 11 to take Fashanu or Fuaga or Latham or whatever. But you've got to be able to get next year's first from one of those teams. Because my guess is those teams are going to take Drake May, and if they take Drake May, they'll have a rookie quarterback. They'll probably win 4 games. Manning's team won 3 games when he was a rookie. Joe Burrow's team was terrible too. So I always love having a rookie quarterback's first-round pick. The Giants did it a couple years ago. They had Chicago's first-round pick for Justin Fields. That was a high pick. I think that's what got them Kayvon Thibodeau. I want to say, who was it? Well, I mean, obviously, Chicago has Carolina's pick for whatever, you know, that's worth. Make of it what you want. So I want next year's one, and then they, you know, go ahead and get the. If I'm the Titans, and I'm in this situation where, again, Caleb Williams goes one, J.J. McCarthy goes two, Jaden Daniels goes three, Marvin Harrison four, Joe Alt five. You know I hate that. Malik Nabers six, and I'm on the board. I've told you that if Brian Callahan's scouting report is the same as Tim Hasselbeck's, which we played yesterday, which was Carolina asked him, if May falls to seven, what do you do? Tim says, I take him. Then that's probably, if Brian Callahan's like, I'm taking him, then do it. But what I think I would do in this instance is I would look to take May, and then I would call Minnesota, because now all the quarterbacks are gone, unless Penix is in that group. And I would ask Minnesota this question. What would you rather do? Take Penix at 11, or have Levis for 23. Because, again, 23, when we talk about next year's one, we're hoping that that's going to be the kind of trade that the Titans make with the Rams, where you end up with the fifth pick. You just don't use it on Corey Davis. Like, that's what we're hoping a next year's one is. 23 is still a very valuable pick. It's still a good player, but it's not like 23 is a sexy pick. So I tell Minnesota, I'm like, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a player at 11 and keep next year's first rounder, or would you rather roll the dice with Michael Penix and have to take him at 11? So that would be my first thing, is would they do that? And you're going to hate it because you guys are so in love with Will Levis. But again, in this case, because everything in front of me has just been a complete and total gong show, I'm just taking the best player available, and the best player available, in this case, Drake May, is also at the best position, which is quarterback. But the one thing that I absolutely will not do, will not accept, will not nothing, is not an option on this program, is using the pick at seven and not ending up with one of the elite eight players in this draft, or getting a first-round draft choice, an extra one for next year. So I can trade out, but I better get a first-round draft choice next year. It does me no good to trade out from 7 to, say, 12 and end up with a couple extra thirds. That does not do me any good, because now I'm going from the elite of the elite at the front in order to move back to take a guy who's not as elite, like an Olu Fashanu. And I'm not doing that. So, again, I've said it. The elite eight players in this draft to me, the three quarterbacks, Williams, May, and Daniels, Nabers, Harrison, Bowers, Alt, Turner. I want one of those eight. And if I don't get one of those eight, I want a first rounder in next year's draft. But if it ends up being Thalese Fuaga with the seventh overall pick, you people that tune into 102.5 The Game on draft night, you guys will get what you came for, because it will be a meltdown of epic proportions. I may leave the show that day, trying to think who could handle the hosting duties if I go away, you know, with Trevor, Chris, and Derek. I guess Derek would have to do it. I may just go right down to the facility and just go right down to the press conference and just start going crazy. Because I'm Fuaga at seven. No, sir. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're starting off on that. 615-737-1025. I am putting in a hard rule that I think the Titans should have for this draft, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We are off and rolling. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. And the gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville.
I had Fashanu down a tier, because I don't think he is as complete as Joe Alt. I think the quarterbacks are more complete at their position, as we talk today, than Fashanu is. That doesn't mean Fashanu's not going to be a great player, but I just had him a tier below.
Do you think Fashanu has a chance to be special, number one, and number two? Does that determine?
I think he'll be a day one starter. I don't think he'll be in the Pro Bowl category or top five at his position by the time it's said and done. But he'll be a solid starter that you can win 17 games with.
Anyway, that was Rick Spielman, former Vikings general manager, on his podcast with the First Pick. And so that was on Fashnu. And again, the Pro Football Focus mock draft has the Titans drafting Dalis Fuaga out of Oregon State with the 7th overall pick. And somebody texted in, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and says, why are you so mad, Jared, about the Dalis Fuaga pick here? As many times as you've told the right tackle story, it seems like you'd like that pick. The right tackle story means that you need to have a right tackle, which means you could have gone out in free agency and signed Jermaine Illuminor, who got a 2-year, $14 million contract from the Giants. You could have paid him $15 million and gotten him instead of the $14 or whatever it was that he got from the Giants. That is the you need a right tackle. There is a difference between a team with a right-handed quarterback having no right tackle and a team with a right-handed quarterback using the 7th pick on a right tackle who is not an elite player in a draft with 8 elite players in it. And so I'm just going to throw this edict down here. This is, to me, and I'm using Rick Spielman's tears, because as much as you guys can say, well, he drafted Christian Ponder. Yeah, I know. He also drafted Justin Jefferson. He drafted Christian Darrisaw. He drafted, you know, the fact the Vikings have been pretty good for the last decades because of him. I think he's pretty good. So we use his tiers and his kind of rankings on this stuff. And so the edict that I have is that I will not draft, and the Titans should not draft, Olu Fashanu or a right tackle at 7. Like, I'm not doing that at 7. Because, again, I think there are 8 elite players in this draft. Latham at 7, for instance, J.C. Latham out of Alabama, is a no. Because Rick Spielman has him ranked as the 14th best player. You can't draft the 14th best player with the 7th overall pick. Fuaga is a no. Spielman's got him at 16. And Fashanu's a no at 7 simply because there are other Tier 1 players available. Brock Bowers in this case is available. Drake May in this case is available. And so, no, I'm not taking one of these right tackles. And I am not going to take Olu Fashanu with the 7th overall pick if I am not trading back and getting, you know, top 60 picks in return. And I know people say, well, Jared, you got to have offensive line. You need offensive line. You need this. You need that. You need. And I was listening to the Midday Show and something popped up in my head. And I can't even remember what their discussion was, but Derek was basically like, this team has to have a left tackle and it doesn't matter what quarterback's available. You know, they have to go draft a left tackle. And I think about something that Floyd said to me, you know, years ago, when you decide to draft for need, which is when you draft for need, not only are you getting a worse player, but you're going to have to play against the players that you don't draft. And I think about Jacksonville drafting Tony Boselli, number 2 overall in the 95 draft. Now, I still don't know how they did the 95 draft. I mean, I guess maybe Carolina traded out. I don't know. I wasn't, you know, I think I was 6 years old at the time, or maybe I was even 5 years old at the time. So I can't exactly remember how that, you know, with 2 expansion teams and everything else. But in the 95 draft, Kajana Carter went number 1 overall to Cincinnati. Then the expansion Jacksonville Jaguars took Tony Boselli at number 2. The Houston Oilers drafted Steve McNair with the 3rd overall pick. And again, let's go back to what Floyd said. If you don't draft this guy, if you don't draft the best player, you're going to have to play against him. And so I understand, as much as I would love to have a Jared Verse or a Quinyon Mitchell or one of those guys on the Titans, I understand there's a chance one of these guys is going to end up in Jacksonville or Indianapolis or something like that. But by not taking the quarterback, and Jacksonville taking Boselli, they then had to play against McNair. In 1999, that is the year that got away from Jacksonville. In 1999, the Jacksonville Jaguars were 14-2 in the regular season. Ian, do you know the team that beat Jacksonville twice that year?
The Titans.
The Tennessee Titans. Who quarterbacked them?
Who quarterbacked the Titans?
Yep.
McNair?
The guy they passed on. Jacksonville just annihilated the Miami Dolphins in the division round of the playoffs. It was Dan Marino's last game. They lost in the AFC Championship game to who?
Miami?
No, I'm talking about Jacksonville.
Oh, who'd the Titans. They lose
to the Titans. Their dream season, they went 14-2, 15-3, and they lost to Steve McNair twice. Neil O'Donnell quarterbacked once, but they lost to Steve McNair, the guy they passed on. So you have to remember that if you pass on a guy, let's use Bowers as an example. If you pass on Bowers and you have him as the fifth pick, but we got to go offensive line, Jared, and all of a sudden you draft Fuaga, who you've got ranked 13th or 14th or something like that, and a team that you play ends up getting Brock Bowers, now you have to play Bowers, and they have a better pick. And the whole point of sucking so bad last year was that you get to draft ahead of the teams that are better than you. That's the whole point of it. So, I mean, again, trade-outs I'm okay with. Now I need top 60 picks in return. I need top 60 picks and next year's firsts in return if I'm going to do this. But, no, I'm not taking a right tackle just to take a right tackle because, well, you know, you got to have offensive line, Jared. We just don't have a choice here. Not when there are eight elite players in this draft. Elite. Three quarterbacks, a tight end, two receivers, one tackle, one pass rusher. So I'm not the right tackles in this draft, you know, and Amarius Mims, I just keep hearing from people that, like, hey, man, that's a project right there. That he's got talent, but his health might be a concern, and he is a project. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not taking that at seven. Even if he ends up developing him because he's got the size and the athleticism and everything to be a star, I'm not taking it if it's not ready at seven. I mean, I'm taking an elite player in this draft. I did not stink last year as bad as I stunk, fired my coach, waved the white flag in October. I didn't do that to go out and pick a good player that's not going to end up being a great player when I have a pick that should allow me to pick a great player a year after I took a freaking guard with a just outside the top 10 pick. 615-737-1025. More of your phones, as always, on this program. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Let's talk about Window Nation. I had Window Nation to my home. And, again, I was kind of like, okay, let's see what Window Nation's all about because I know people had been saying, hey, you know, you really like Window Nation. And I had talked to the people at Window Nation before I started telling them or telling you about them. But I wanted to get to know Window Nation. So I had them at my home for the free and home estimate. And they blew me away with their honesty and their expertise. They told me I didn't need to replace my windows, but they told me everything I needed to know because they know. So with April being here, if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, call Window Nation right now. For every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two free. So if you do it right now, you get two windows, you get two for free. Simple as that. And they've got no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality and affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands, you will love Window Nation. So do not miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Titans up at 7.
Obviously, they want Joe Alt. Joe Alt is not on the board. They basically just go with the next offensive lineman on their board, which in this situation is my board and is therefore Talise Fuaga.
Now, are you going to keep Fuaga at right tackle?
Probably. I don't, you know, they have a need of both tackles, so
yeah.
What difference does it make?
Titans need both tackle, so I think that's fine.
They just need an upgrade on the offensive line still. You know, they've been working on it. It's still a work in progress. It still needs help. It still needs, you know, both tackles. If I can fix one of them, I'm a step in the right direction.
Well, you know, they just the first guy's gone, so I'll just take the second guy. What about the other positions and do those not count? Well, you know, it's just so. So I thought that was Sam Monson who did the Pro Football Focus mock draft. I thought the Pro Football Focus mock draft was so insanely wild that when I first started doing it, I forgot that it was a two-round. When I first started reading it, I forgot that it was a two-round mock draft. And then I saw their second-round pick was 38, was Peyton Wilson out of NC State. And Pro Football Focus writes, an elite athlete at linebacker, Wilson had elite tape last season, but has extensive injury history. And I'm like, an inside backer in the second round? Like, inside backer, that should be a position that you just, you know, just be able to just get that whenever. You should be able to sign that in free agency for $7 million like Jerome Baker signed with Seattle. Like, that's... That's what you're supposed to do that for. So, I mean, Fuaga, who might be the 17th best player in this draft and an inside backer, and I thought to myself this morning, I'm like, I'm getting mad at Rand Carthon today for a mock draft that he had nothing to do with. He didn't make these picks, but I did think it was funny. It kind of reminded me of before the Titans went out. Now, again, Rand had been the one that had said that he wasn't going to spend the money and then went out and spent all the money, but it was like before free agency when I was like, you need to spend the money. Like, you need to spend it. And you guys were already making excuses ahead of time for why they weren't going to spend it. And then they spent it, and now you think they hit a grand slam in free agency. And it's like, that's how I feel about this, where I'm like, you know, getting mad. It was just, whatever. Let's go back to your phones. Tristan's up next here on our program. He's been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Tristan.
Okay, why do you think Drake May is better than J.J. McCarthy? J.J. McCarthy won a national championship, and Drake May is like, he lost to Georgia Tech. Didn't he lose to Virginia? And like,
Tristan, who won the championship last year?
Michigan won.
Who won before that? Who was the quarterback that won before that?
And the quarterback that won before that was Stetson Bennett.
Okay, who was the quarterback who won before that?
Look at the North Carolina quarterbacks that have come in, like Mitch Trubisky. And
what does that have to do with Drake May?
They're all from North Carolina.
So?
I'm just saying the North Carolina quarterbacks have Drake Mitch Trubisky, and who was the other guy that was before Mitch Trubisky?
Well, you're thinking about Sam Howell, who was after that. But it should be noted that those are two, or in this case, three incredibly different people. So just because they went to college there does not mean that they're the same person.
How about if Joe Old isn't there, I would trade down again.
So your whole point about why you shouldn't draft Drake May, which again, I mean, I don't think the Titans are going to have a chance to draft Drake May, so I think this is all totally moot, but your logic is that J.J. McCarthy won the title and Drake May didn't, so you should take J.J. McCarthy. Can I make the same argument for Mac Jones? Because Mac Jones won the championship too.
His footwork is amazing. Mac Jones' footwork was like, that guy is not that great of a quarterback. Like,
so now it's the footwork, and it's not about the winning.
Winning and the talent, like his arm strength, J.J. McCarthy can, like, get.
If J.J. McCarthy were so talented, Tristan, why did they never let him throw the ball in college?
They allowed him to throw the ball. They just wanted to run the ball. I mean, had to run the ball also, so they threw the ball also. So if you look some of the plays, like,
he threw for 60 yards.
He threw for 3,000 yards last year.
I mean, okay, and Drake May threw for 4,000. So I appreciate your call, Tristan. I mean, the idea here, like with McCarthy, that here's the one thing that I just don't believe, and you'll never be able to convince me of this when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. Well, he's so good, they just didn't have to have him be good, so they didn't want him to be good. I cannot think of a quarterback in the NFL or college who was an elite quarterback, and I'm not saying like developed into an elite quarterback like Brady did down the road, but I'm talking about, I can't think of a college that sat there and said, you know, hey, we got Peyton Manning, but we can just turn around and hand the ball off 15 times or 35 times a game and win, so let's do it. Nobody does that. If you've got the quarterback, you let the quarterback throw the ball. The times that you take the ball out of the quarterback's hands are when you've got a guy like Ryan Tannehill who can do some things but can't do all the things. Like, you don't take the ball out of Mahomes' hands. I don't care how good your defense or running game is. You do not take it out of his hands. You might take it out of his game, out of his hands for a half or for a game, but you don't do that for an entire season. And not only that, Jim Harbaugh is an offensive-minded coach who played quarterback. I mean, those are the guys that love to air out the ball. The quarterback gurus, the Shanahans, the McVays, the Kevin O'Connells, the Josh Heupels. You know, those guys, they play quarterback. They want to air it out. Sean Payton played quarterback in college. He wants to air it out. That's what – so you're telling me that this guy's so good, but Harbaugh – again, a quarterback coach is like, no. We want to run the ball and play defense, even though we've got this super secret weapon hidden in the Batcave. Come on now. I just can't get on board with that. Tommy says, if the Titans go quarterback, it will set this franchise back. I'll read the rest of his text in a second, but let me just throw a caveat into the idea of, if Drake May is on the board, which I don't think Drake May will be on the board. I think Drake May is going second. But if Drake May is on the board at seven and the Titans take Drake May at seven and move on from Levis, you're telling me it'll set the franchise back. What if May is that dude? Like, what if May is an elite franchise quarterback? Then there's no argument that you set the Titans back. In fact, if anything, you sped it up. It's like, wow, you were in a stage where you were wondering if you had the quarterback. You know, maybe he can do it, maybe he can't. And now you're, we got the guy. That's where the Houston Texans are. They used a high pick on Davis Mills. I believe Ian Davis Mills was a second-round pick. He might have been a third-round pick.
I want to say third.
Okay. Davis Mills was a high pick, and they could have said, well, you know, Davis Mills, quarterback, we got to. Instead, they drafted C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, pretty good. Tommy continues, Levis has the second-round contract, which allows us to spend more money, not to mention 3 years in a row for the Titans to go quarterback is absolutely absurd. We need to build this team and give Levis time before jumping the gun like that. If we draft Drake May, I'll be pissed when you have Bowers or Alt possibly available. So, again, if you don't like Drake May, that's fine. Then that's the reason why you don't like it, because you don't like Drake May, which is a different discussion. If you're just saying, we can't go quarterback, well, that's how you end up drafting Corey Davis ahead of Patrick Mahomes. That's how you do it. Because you thought you had a franchise quarterback, and you didn't. And that's what a lot of you want to accept is, well, you know, we think we have a franchise quarterback, which I don't think you have a franchise quarterback. I think we'll see if you have a franchise quarterback. I would say you have a starting quarterback. You think you maybe have a franchise quarterback. We'll see. I'm not going to pass up on a guy if my quarterback guru head coach is like, man, this guy coming out, this guy reminds me of Burrow. If I'm getting that out of Brian Callahan, I'm supposed to pass on him because I got Will Levis? No, sir. Chuck says, why are you hating so much on J.J. McCarthy? We're looking at offensive line help. It doesn't make much sense. I mean, the texter or caller called in about J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I want J.J. McCarthy to go in the top six because then it pushes one of the elite eight players in this draft to you. But, I mean, just this idea, I feel like then everybody's perpetuating that, no. J.J. McCarthy actually is a good player. They just chose not to use him. And because of that, that's why, like, to me, that's the difference. I also, for the whole crowd out there that's, like, anti-taking anything but an offensive lineman, which I get. I mean, I want him to take Joe Alt, but for the crowd that's anti them taking anything but an offensive lineman, aren't you the same people that think that Bill Callahan can coach up Jalen Duncan? Because you love your team so much and believe that everybody's right all the time? I mean, you can't have it both ways there, right? Texture says, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, do you fix the offensive line in the remainder of the draft? So remember what Mark Dominic said, that if he took Brock Bowers at 7, he would use the fourth round pick to go with the second round pick to move up and take a tackle. Now, I don't know if he thinks that's going to get him into the first round. He would know that stuff better than I would. But he would use the fourth round pick to move up at 2 in order to get a tackle, and then he'd roll with PT. Now, what I would do is I would sign Andrus Peat. And I would sign Andrus Peat if I end up not going with the tackle, and he would be starting at tackle for me. And I know you'll say, but Jared, we need a long-term solution at left tackle. I agree. But I don't want, I'm not sacrificing a better player, like an elite star player, because I just want to have a young tackle available, even if I'm not as high on the young tackle as I am the elite player that's out there. And in this case, that would be May, and I think May is an elite quarterback prospect. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Chris Sanders will join us, as he always does on this program. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. The NBA play-in tournament is here. It gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason. Congratulations to the Lakers. What happened to Golden State? Woo! So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Three-pointers made in a game, over-under point total, first basket scorer, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get started. That's FanDuel.com/JGM. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over in present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join National Super Speedway in the city of Lebanon for the Speedway on the Square this Saturday from 1 to 6 in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30. Chris Sanders is with us, former Titans receiver. He'll be with us for another edition of Draft Night in Nashville a week from tomorrow. Oh, Chris, God. I want to start with this.
Yes.
Let's take Joe Walt out of the equation for right now. Yes. Let's say he's off the board.
Sure.
Do the Titans still have to take an offensive lineman in the first round, or could the Titans take one of these other highly ranked players with the seventh pick?
I don't know, Jared. That's a great, great question, because if you look at the offensive line prospects in his draft, I mean, there's some good guys. It's not just Joe Alt. I mean, it's the guy from Penn State, Fasciano. Then you got the guy from Oregon State, Fiago. I hate to pronounce his name wrong. But then you got the guy from Alabama, Latham. You got Mills from Georgia. So you do have a lot of guys that can play the position. But I just kind of look at the scenario that even if you have some good offensive tackles there, what if you got neighbors sitting there? What if you got Adunzu standing there? And also you have some other guys that's kind of sitting in that position. It just makes you wonder what the Tennessee Titans are going to do.
Man, you're like Mad Dog Russo with those names. But at least you're close. I do wonder this question.
Oh, wow, man, it's crazy.
There is something to that. I do wonder this, though.
Sure.
You know, Mark Dominic, the former Buccaneers general manager, said he thinks taking Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, is a slam dunk. Says he would do it over Joe Alt. Thinks that Bowers is that kind of matchup nightmare. Put your coaching shoes on in this one. If you were to take a player like Bowers, could he do enough for the Titans offensively from a matchup standpoint for defenses that it would offset the gain that you're not making in your offensive line?
I mean, it will. I mean, this guy is a rare talent. I mean, just watching what he does. I know he plays a little bit of tight end, but you can flank him out and him go against defensive backs. I just love the skill set he has. And he kind of – the one thing I love that he does well is he runs routes just like a wide receiver. And the one thing he does well also is his yards after the catch. But in this situation, this is just my opinion. People may think I'm wrong, but why would you go and get him when you have Chig? I mean, I understand
Chig sucks.
He's a great – okay, how many receptions did he have last year?
I don't know, but he dropped the ball just as many times as he caught it.
Time out, 54 receptions, 578. That's not bad. I mean, I know you look at some of his drops, and the reason why I say that is I'm not saying that Chig is a better player than Bowers. I'm just saying that if Brian Callahan uses, you know, Chig in a great way to get where he has he puts the matchups to where Chig can excel, I think he can be an asset to this team also.
See, I think Chig belongs as the number two tight end
but
in that, like, pass catch, because I think he stinks.
Like, 54 receptions, 578.
He can't catch. He cannot catch. Listen. Like, there was one ball, I want to say it was Tampa Bay, where he not only dropped it, but then it fell to the ground, and he kicked it forward. Like, I've never seen that before. He's got stone
54 receptions,
hands.
578.
Wow. I mean, that's really well. 500 yards.
I'm not saying he's just as good as Bowers, but he has a skill set that I think that is still a matchup nightmare for defense. He can run. I know he needs to work on his catching just a little bit more, but that's just a confidence issue. And it's kind of like, I'm not trying to get off the subject. It's kind of like Burks. Burks is a talent. There's something that the Tennessee Titans saw in him that makes you think that there's some potential still there. And I'm just looking at Chig. Everybody's just kind of looking over Chig. Chig can make some plays now. I watched him last year when I went to camp a couple of times. If he just consistently gets his hands better and gets a little bit of confidence, I'm telling you, in my opinion, I think he can be one of the best tight ends in the league.
Yeah, see, I got into the whole Chig thing last year. I saw him in training camp. I drank the Kool-Aid. And I was just so underwhelmed. I mean, to me, Chig is a backup. And when you draft a guy in the fourth round.
578.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to catch the ball when there's nobody else to catch it. They're going to have to throw it to somebody. But, I mean, again, I thought Chig last year, I really thought Chig, you know, because Chig had a good rookie year. I thought Chig was ready to really show that he was going to be, and he just sucked last year. I mean, everything was worse than it was the year before. I mean, he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball 10% of the time last year, Chris.
54 receptions.
He had six drops. He dropped the ball 10% of the time.
54.
You're asking me why I would take Brock Bowers. I'm thinking because he can catch.
I'm just saying, if Brian Callahan comes in here and uses his skill set, he gets confidence early, this guy can make plays now. I'm not saying he's a world beater.
You're looking at, in my opinion, Chris, you're looking at, you know, the best-case scenario here. You know, if Brian Callahan, coach him up, and if this guy can get his confidence up, and if he can this, and if he can – and I'm not worried about best-case scenario. I'm worried about what he is right now. And right. What he was last year was not good enough as a starting tight end in the NFL. Pro Football Focus ranked him 32nd. And what that means is that if you're going to say he's a starter, he's the dead last one in the NFL.
54 receptions, 578.
Why do I care about that?
Because he's making plays. Listen, dear, I love you, and I respect what you say, but you can't just give up on a person because he drops a couple of balls.
I mean, I gave him an entire season, and he got me 54 catches.
Name some more tight ends that had more catches than him.
All right, let's pull it up. Let's right now pull up how many people had 54 catches last year.
Tight ends, not receivers. Tight ends.
Okay, let's see. It just gives you the total catches here. So let's go to 54 because apparently Breece Hall, the running back from the Jets, had 76 catches.
Let's see.
We get to 54. Hold on, I gotta scroll all the way down. Let's see.
Are you a jerk?
Jahmyr Gibbs had 52. Joe Mixon had 52. Tajay Spears had 52. Darren Waller, who was a disaster last year for the Giants, and might retire. Running back! Running back is supposed to run the ball before they catch it. And he's catching it as much as a running back. Oh, hold on. Here you go. Logan Thomas, who got cut by Washington and was a converted quarterback, had 55 catches.
Different schemes.
Okay. I just keep making excuses for him, Chris. You'll never win if you just take the bad players and you keep saying, you know what? This year the bad player is going to be good.
Jared, bad players? A bad player is not, first of all, number one is not going to play in the NFL. A bad player is not going to catch 54 catches, 578.
You know Jonnu Smith had more receiving yards last year?
Jonnu Smith? But he's a good player.
No, that's why Miami signed him for almost no money.
Oh, my God.
That's why he gets cut by every team. Signed his big contract. New England didn't want him anymore. Goes to Atlanta. They didn't want him anymore. And now he's on like a, you know, low end contract.
That's backup stuff, Chris.
That's what I'm talking about. You want to pump. You're telling me not to draft Brock Bowers because you want a backup to be a backup.
Not a backup, but I'm saying I would get another player in that position. You still got a guy that athletic wise, can still make plays. All he has to do is work on a couple of things, and he could be an elite tight end. I'm telling you, I saw it in practice. Listen, everybody gets caught up, oh, he dropped a couple of balls. Yeah, I understand. The best wide receiver dropped a lot of balls. Let me give you a perfect example. Jerry Rice is the best receiver of all times, right or wrong? Yes or no?
Are you comparing Chig to Jerry Rice?
No, listen to what I'm saying. Yes or no?
Yes, Jerry Rice is the best receiver of all time.
Thank you. But his first couple of years, he struggled catching the football.
Did Jerry Rice drop the ball 10% of the time?
His first year he did.
Did he?
Yes, his first year.
I mean, I wasn't alive when Jerry Rice's first year, so I'll have to take your word for it. But I highly doubt Jerry Rice dropped the ball 10% of the time.
You're looking at the finished product. But at the beginning, when he did, he struggled.
Jerry Rice was a first-round draft choice. Oh, I highly doubt he dropped the ball 10% of the time.
Jared, he struggled. So what I'm telling you is the team saw the potential there. What I'm saying about Chig is I'm not comparing him to Brock Bowers. I'm not comparing him. That's not what I'm saying. And if they get him, I think it's going to be an asset for this team. But what I'm saying is don't give up on a guy that has the potential to be a great tight end in this league. That's what I'm saying.
Jerry Rice had 927 yards as a rookie.
And he had a lot of drops.
They did not keep that as a stat back then.
I know, but he had a lot of drops.
He led the NFL. So Chig is coming off of year two. Jerry Rice led the NFL in receiving yards and touchdowns and yards per game as a second-year pro and was an all-pro.
But what if they would have gave up on him his first year and said he's done?
Well, I'm not giving up on Chig after his first year. I'm giving up on Chig after his second. I mean, look, I gave Chig the chance last year. I thought Chig was going to make it. I really did. I thought Chig was going to make it, and he was incredibly disappointing this past year, and there's no way around it. And so I understand the idea of not taking Brock Bowers because of Joe Alt or because of whomever, but I do not understand the idea of not taking Brock Bowers because of Chig.
No, I didn't say that. That's totally different what I said. You said if they did draft him, and I was saying why they shouldn't draft him. That's kind of what I was saying. But if they draft him, it's going to be an asset for the team. But regardless, whoever's there, let's go back to the tackle position. Whoever's at the tackle position, they got to make sure they protect Will Levis. So at the end of the day, they're going to get Joe Alt or one of those tackles that we're talking about.
Last one for you, Chris Sanders with us. Do you expect a patented Jared Stillman meltdown on draft night?
1,000%. 1,000%.
My favorite is last year.
Oh, my God.
Last year when they took Skoronski, you took your phone out and took a video as I went crazy about the fact that they drafted a guard. Oh,
no, when they got Raiders that year. Dude.
Oh, I went crazy about that.
That's why I love doing the show, because I know there's going to be a Jared breakdown. And guess what? I'm going to have my camera ready.
There you go. Chris Sanders, we will see you then. And, of
love
course, we'll talk
brother.
To you before then.
You,
love
man.
You, too, Chris love Sanders. You so the president of the Chig Okonkwo deserves a third chance fan club here on the program. Again, I'll have to take Chris's word for it because I was not alive in 1985, but I assume Jerry Rice did not drop the ball 10% of the time on his 49 catches for 927 as a rookie in 1985. 615-737-1025. So, I love Chris. I'm not throwing him under the bus, I promise. But I think that Chig thing was a good example of a, you know, let's think best case scenario. Why can't best case scenario happen? And I'm worried that a lot of Titan fans feel that way about their quarterback. And after yesterday's discussion, it made me worried about something that affects him. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.